The third season of the Netflix show The Crown premieres Sunday. Ever since creator Peter Morgan debuted the show in 2016, it has won fans on both sides of the Atlantic. This season begins in 1964. Olivia Colman and Tobias Menzies have taken over the roles of Queen Elizabeth and her husband, Prince Philip, from Claire Foy and Matt Smith. In this scene, the pair discusses Harold Wilson, leader of the Labour Party, who's running in the general election.
You do know if that man wins today, they want us out.
Who?
Wilson. Half his cabinet would be made up of rabid anti-monarchists. We want our heads on spikes. Vive la Révolution. Except, I doubt they speak French in Halifax. Huddersfield. Wherever he's from.
Well, joining us now from London is Tobias Menzies. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
Well, first of all, you play a character that we've all seen forever, but we don't know that much about him. Who is Prince Philip for you?
God, starting with the difficult question. I think you're right. He's quite hard to get to the bottom of. He's clearly a man, I think, from that generation, obviously saw action in the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Is a naval man. He himself comes from, a royal family, a Greek royal family. Mm-hmm. So even though people talk about him and he's in a way represented in the show as something of an outsider, he very much was to the manor born as well. I think he's a contradiction, I think. He has contradictions within him. I think he's funny. I think he's emotional and yet kind of guarded and armoured. He is an alpha male who has spent his life second fiddle to his wife.
Has to stand behind her, right, when she
walks. Yes, yeah. And all of that makes, I think, for quite interesting material to sort of bring to the screen.
Well, what about the relationship that he has with the Queen, especially in this season, the third season of The Crown? Because in the first two seasons, it seemed a bit like that relationship was strained, and now maybe not so much.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Peter has taken the writing away from the sort of internal kind of challenges of their marriage and what it was for him to, I suppose, set aside his own career in order to, be her consort, etc. And we see in season three, I think they've reached sort of calmer waters in terms of their marriage, and both their challenges come from outside.
How was it to step in to this role after Matt Smith played Philip for the first two seasons? Did you watch his performance at all or talk to him about his approach?
I had seen the show and admired it hugely prior to any suggestion that I might be involved in it. So, and I love what Matt did in the first two seasons. I didn't talk to him about the character and doing it. I know him. We've worked together before. But yes, for some reason, I didn't feel like that I wanted to do that. And actually, the first two seasons are kind of an amazing resource anyway. It's such an unusual thing to have, such a successful, critically acclaimed show that then completely changes every single character. What could possibly go wrong? And I definitely called on what Matt had done in those first two seasons through watching it. But then I felt like, in a way, I had to then take it on myself and take it somewhere else.
Well, and the thing that came to my mind, and I don't know if this reference is going to work for you because it may just be too American, but I thought of Dick Sargent taking over for Dick York as Darren on Bewitched, where this one character has been established for so long and then somebody else just comes in and is that character.
I'm going to have to admit that I have no idea
what
you're talking
about. You don't know Bewitched,
about,
right? Okay. That's fine.
But if you say so, I completely agree.
Well, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the other part of your character in the season is the prince as a father. And we have a scene here with you as the Duke of Edinburgh trying to persuade your daughter Anne, played by Erin Doherty, to appear in a film about the royal family as part of a public relations push. Here it is.
I want people to like us, to feel that they know us. I know you value your privacy, but I think there's a lot about you that they would like if they got a chance. The fact that you're generally good value for money.
Like a pair of long-lasting boots.
Is there anything one loves more in life than a pair of long-lasting boots?
How do you see him as a parent?
I think that's one of the things that Peter starts to draw out in this third season as the children start to come into the story. And I think it seems to be quite sort of well acknowledged that it's Anne is who Philip is closest to. Charles is on record as saying that he found Philip a very difficult father to have. You know, if you take Charles's word, it seems like he could be quite a bullying and domineering father. And yet Anne speaks very well and warmly about it. So contradiction seems to be at the heart of it.
Let's talk about you as an actor. You, a lot of our American listeners may know you from Game of Thrones as a Tully. And also, you were in The Night Manager. You were in Rome. How is this different than those experiences?
Unlike those dramas, I'm playing someone who is a real person mm-hmm. and is still alive. So that has its certain challenges, both technical and I guess there's an element of responsibility towards that. In terms of the making of it, there are definitely similarities in terms of sort of size of budget and the kind of prestige nature of the drama that we're making.
Does it feel as prestigious as Game of Thrones or more?
Yes, definitely. It's such a different show. And I'm also much more involved in this. Game of Thrones, I adored shooting that, but I was sort of much more in and out of that. And, you know, that's an imagined fantasy world, which I usually shot in the mud in Belfast. There's much less mud when I'm shooting The Crown. It's
You don't get dirty when you're the prince.
I don't get that dirty. The clothes are a little sharper tailored.
Let me just come back then to the royal family here. Now, you were born in England.
Yeah.
What do you think of the royal family, or what have you thought of the royal family over the course of your life?
I mean, I don't know what this means. I'll sort of be instantly fired. But the truth is, I was brought up pre-Republican, small R Republican. Mm-hmm. The royal family were not very present in our lives. They weren't people that I thought about very much. I hope my mum doesn't mind me saying, but she would actively not watch the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. I definitely, to a certain degree, quite ill-qualified for this. So it was a steep learning curve in terms of thinking about them, reading about them, sort of putting my focus on who they are. Yeah, I suppose, I think for me, they were just part of the infrastructure here. And I think that's not an uncommon experience for a lot of British people. But having worked on the show and now found out quite a lot about them and thought about them a lot more, I've been impressed with them. And whatever you think of them politically, you can't question the level of duty and commitment to their positions.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think so many people are so interested in them? Not just to watch things like the wedding of Harry and Meghan, but to watch The Crown?
I guess because they are figureheads of our modern society. And so therefore, certain sort of mythologies and ideas of who we are as people sort of coalesce around these figures. And so I think as soon as a drama invites you to sort of go behind closed doors with those people, there's obviously a sort of, I wonder if it's like that kind of frisson. I also think a lot of the success of the show is that Peter pitches that in a really brilliant way so that it doesn't fall into soap. It remains, I feel, quite a, I think at times, important and sort of cogent investigation of those institutions and what they mean and how they filter down into our sort of civic society. And for that reason, it delivers on more than one level. It both has the, I wonder if it is like that, and also is sort of contributing to a bigger sort of conversation about those institutions.
Was there ever a moment in recording a scene for The Crown that you guys couldn't stop laughing because of whatever you were having to say in the sort of stuffy world of the royal family?
It's always my dreaded question, did something funny happen on set? Because my mind always goes blank. I think I would say this, that it's funny how all that besuited, gilded sort of privilege becomes quite natural quite quickly, which is obviously worrying, I would say.
Tobias Menzies, what role would you like to play next when the prince gets too old for you and somebody else has to take the role?
I've always thought I have a walk that is a bit like a cowboy. So I think I've always quite fancied playing quite a taciturn cowboy of very few words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned for that.
Cross your fingers for me. Yeah.
That is Tobias Menzies, who stars as Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, on the Netflix show The Crown, and season 3 premieres Sunday. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
I'm just glad The Crown is back because I just finished Succession and now need something new to watch. This is Here and Now.